May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 679. Come, thou almighty comforter, and bring upon thy wing sweet consolation to each soul, that we may praise and sing. 679.
God's most holy word for tonight you can find in the book of Psalms, chapter 68. Psalms Psalm 68. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Solomon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls, with the calves of the people, till every one submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah, to him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old. Lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. Thus far the reading of God's most holy word. May he add his blessing and teach us to pray. O thou who dwells in the heavens of heavens, O thou who art mighty and glorious, O Lord, thou to whom none can be likened unto or be equal, for thou alone art God, gracious, glorious, and almighty in power, yet, Lord, full of loving kindness, tender in mercies, ever of old. From everlasting to everlasting are thy tender mercies, and daily, Lord, are they shown amongst the inhabitants of this earth. O gracious and merciful Lord, we would bow tonight in thy presence again, before this precious place, the throne of grace and mercy, and to call upon thee, O God, who most high art, and yet a condescending God, that we, this company of poor sinners, might tonight again call upon thee, and beg thee, Lord, that thou might in mercy remember us in all our wants and needs. For, Lord, we are poor, groveling creatures of this earth, worms of this earth and carnal, sold under sin. And thou, Lord God, art high, O so high in the heavens and holy and pure. But, Lord, to remember us in the name of thy glorious Son, Jesus Christ, that we might receive gifts even this night, that thou would open wide our mouths and pour forth within us the precious truths of thy holy gospel, the wonders of that sacred gospel, and the glad tidings of good things for poor condemned sinners. O Heavenly Father, do give us that gift of faith, that faith where it is necessary to please thee and to come before thee. Grant, Lord, that faith, that we might be brought upon the gospel way. And grant, Lord, that faith that we might eye yon lovely man, and that our souls might be stirred within us, that our hearts may be warmed within us as we walk the gospel way rejoicing. O Lord, remember those in our midst who have never tasted nor handled nor felt of the wonders of yon blessed lovely man. Those yet, Lord, who sit in darkness or ignorance. Those who have never been touched by thy power. Lord, remember all those outside. Outside of that precious church of thine, outside of the knowledge of salvation, outside of the comforts of the Zionites, Lord, remember them. Thou who art almighty in power, yet filled with loving kindnesses, wilt thou yet awaken the dead, wilt thou give sight unto the blind, and wilt give strength unto those who are lame, that they might come even tonight, with great needs born in their souls, with prayers upon their lips and a desire in their hearts. O stir up, Lord, the dead, that thy name may be glorified and exalted in praise in the lips of the ignorant and foolish. And so, Lord, remember such poor ones who know not the wonders of the gospel. And, Lord, we commend to thee and thy people those who know thy loving kindnesses, those who have tasted thy rich favors. Lord, do come again tonight, to come and bless the souls with the rich abundance of goodness. O that fountain that flows, that living water, the fountain that cleanses from sin and uncleanness, and the storehouses of Joseph able to feed the nourishing soul, the hungry soul, the longing soul. Lord, remember us together, how great a needs we have, and nothing we can do of self we come to confess poverty, weakness, but thou, Lord, art rich, and thou art almighty and able to overcome. Wilt thou then overcome every obstacle this night and glorify thy name, that sinners may be brought to Christ, and that the church may be comforted, and the church may be blessed, and thy kingdom added from here. Oh, may it be said, O Lord God, that thou hast much people in this city, them also I must bring in, that thou would bring in from the streets, that thou would bring in from afar off, that would bring in, Lord, at this time, our need is great. Remember, Lord, our needs. Remember this people, thy church here. We pray, Lord, that thou would give them that unfeigned humility, that they might become the least of the brethren, that they might have that humble and meek spirit, that they might be filled, Lord, with thy precious love, that they might be melted in their hearts, that they might be united with thy blessed and holy spirit, and that they might be those burden bearers, that they might walk in that law of love, and the liberty where Christ has made them free. And so, Lord, that they might become those bright, shining lights, giving a testimony of thy goodness and mercy to them. Lord, remember the deacons and their responsibilities. O guide them in the ways that they walk, in the decisions that they must make. Grant them, Lord, that they might be filled with thy spirit, and that they might go before this people, rightly taught, and that they might feel the burden of the souls. Lord, remember thy dear servants of our cause, O our dear brethren who preach thy word faithfully, day after day and week after week. Do bless them, Lord, with strength and sweet liberty, and do grant them that precious portion of thy Holy Spirit, and a word in their mouth to preach unto the people, that they might glorify thy holy and excellent name, that they have no fear of man. O Lord, remember those downcast and those in trials and straits in life. O the husbandman that is a partaker of the fruits of sorrow and distress. O that thou might come and sustain. That thou, Lord, and encourage and cheer in these dark and trying places. That they may know the peaceable fruits of righteousness thereby. That they might be exercised in the furnace, and that they might be purified of more of that dross. That they might come out that gold tried in the fire. That he may teach the people of thy faithfulness and of thy loving kindnesses ever of old, of the necessity of the furnace, of the afflictions, and that we might be more purified and made closer unto our lovely Savior. And Lord, do remember the aged ones, thy dear servants who have preached so many years and feel weakness of body. Oh, slowing down from the age and weakness, Lord, do bless them. Oh, how we long to hear out of the mouths of such aged servants of thine, thy wonderful testimonies, thy faithfulness, thy loving kindness is ever of old, and thy promises made known unto them, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lord, that their testimony might be an encouragement unto the younger generations of thy eternal faithfulness and thy loving kindness to thy people. And Lord, give us men now whom thou wilt be pleased to thrust out into the world, men whom thou hast anointed with thy spirit and who are called to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, our need is great. The harvest is great, and truly, Lord, those faithful laborers are few. Remember us, Lord, in these great needs. Oh, remember our beloved friends and congregation, church at home. Oh, Lord, bless those that read this, even this day, that it might be sanctified to souls. Oh, that we might come home yet to hear the wonders of salvation even there. The almighty, everywhere present God, with whom nothing is too hard. Oh, stir up even now, Lord, and let that word enter the hearts of the hearers, that souls might even now be turned and troubled, and know something of the loving kindness of Jesus. Lord, we would fall before thee, and beg thee grant us these desires, these longings of the soul. Oh, that even now thou wilt show thyself a God that is a people yet to draw in. Remember, Lord, our nation, our leaders. Oh, how we truly confess our poverty, our utter wretchedness, our contempt of thy holy ways. Oh, Lord, our spurning of thee thyself, our mockery, our blasphemy. Lord, that thou might yet forgive us, that thou might yet apply thy power of repentance within us, and that we might yet come to our senses before it is too late. Thou art just, Lord, if thou should send thy sentences of vengeance and of anger, and if thou should send thy sentences of judgment against us. And yet, Lord, we plead for mercy, and we plead, Lord, for that outward, even that outward repentance of souls. And do, Lord, remember us. Oh, we do need thee in all these things. And though again we set before thee, our dear friends, plunged down in sorrows and troubles, and sickness and diseases, oh, Lord, thou knowest the burdened souls and the grieving souls. Thou knowest all things. We pray, Lord, that in these times of life, in these circumstances, in these great distresses, a soul may be humbled, and the eye may be lifted unto thee, and a cry made unto the Lord Jesus for healing, for comfort and for counsel, for the presence of the blessed good Samaritan to bind up the wounds. O gracious God, that these things might prove the means of melting hearts and turning sinners unto the Lord Jesus Christ to beg for forgiveness. Lord, we do confess our hardness, our rebellion, and our ignorance, but thou art able to perform wonders. Remember us, Lord, in the darkness of our minds and the dreadful effects of sin, whereby sin, disease, and death has come upon us. And Lord, we do pray especially now too for thy blessed word. Oh, that holy, holy word of God, that direction of our souls to find peace and repentance, and the revelations of the glorious truths of Jesus Christ, thy precious word that thou hast given us. Lord, we pray that even now, this precious word might become the sweet savor of all of our souls, that this glorious book that thou hast given might be that favorite, that precious book of ours, the most read book in our homes, and the guide and direction in the paths of life. And we pray, Lord, that thou might remember those, the Trinitarian Bible Society and other organizations that would translate thy holy word according into thy original language, thy original tongue. O gracious God, that thou might sustain those ones and fill them with thy special token of thy spirit, thy light, and that liberty they might be able to translate rightly. And Lord, we pray not only translation, but the distribution of that precious word throughout this world, into the eyes and into the hearts of poor sinners. Oh, that they might know that they are sinners, but there is that precious Emmanuel and the blood that cleanses from all sin. Lord, that thou might come, Almighty God, glorious in all thy wondrous doings and works, and break down every gate and every hedge and every mountain and every barrier that prevents that precious distribution. O Lord, that thou might prevent Satan's work as he seeks to destroy. But let that word even now find entrance into the souls of many and many readers. We pray these things, Lord, for thy great name's sake, that thou would perform wonders and do marvelous things yet in this time, those marvelous things of salvation. And now, dear Lord, we would praise thee and bring our thanksgiving offerings into thy holy ears. And we do thank thee, Almighty God, that thou alone art the God of heaven and earth. And we do praise thee, O Heavenly Father, for the sacred wonders of thy truth made known, of thy love, of thy goodness, of thy rich favors, of thy blessings to mankind, of that sacred covenant where thou shalt call thy people out of Satan's kingdom and bring them into Jesus Christ to be married unto him, to receive the forgiveness of sins, and to experience the preciousness of thy love. O Father, we praise thee and thank thee and bless thee for Jesus Christ, thy only begotten Son, he who is equal with thee, and yet condescended to become a man, and become a partaker of our flesh and bones, and our soul, that we might be redeemed, that we might be reconciled, and that we might find peace with thee. O Heavenly Father, we praise thee, and that Jesus Christ has come, and Jesus Christ has performed thy will, spoken thy words, and done thy works, that we might be saved. O our glorious Redeemer, who is that compassionate and faithful and friendly one, that prophet and priest and king, who has offered himself up on Calvary, suffered, bled, and died. O our glorious Savior, who bore our sins upon his shoulders, and brought in a righteousness not our own, and that we might be clothed with that precious robe, that the shame of our nakedness be seen not. O Heavenly Father, we praise thee that thou would not allow him to stay in the grave, that it was not possible that he should see corruption, but by thy power thou brought him out of the sepulchre and broke the bands of death and hell and destroyed Satan and led him captive and bound him in chains. And glorious Satan bound him in chains, and Jesus himself has ascended into heaven and now at thy right hand intercedes for his people. O Heavenly Father, what wondrous and sacred truths, and we do thank thee for them, and that we might know them, that we might be taught them, and that we might feel them in our souls through the wonders of the gracious teachings of the Holy Spirit, that fools may know that way and walk on the highway of holiness through him who dwells within. and indites a prayer and reveals Jesus Christ. And now, Father, we would bow before thee. Oh, feed us with the supplies of grace, that we might eat the rich crumbs of mercy this night, and that we might know what it is to be a sinner saved by the grace and goodness of God. And dear Lord, precious Jesus, that thou might wash our worship tonight in thy precious blood, that truly then and only then it shall be acceptable in the sight of the Father. Oh, hear us and answer us in thy precious and all-prevailing name. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
In 683, Great God, thy kingdom come, with reverence would we pray, may the eternal three in one his sovereign scepter sway. 683.
Thank you.
you're going to need the Lord's help again for tonight, draw your prayerful attention to Psalm 68, verse 11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. We want to speak this evening as the Lord may enable me, beloved friends, in 3 points. The first, the Lord gave the written word. Second, the Lord gave the incarnate word. And third, the Lord gave the living word in the heart of a poor sinner. And beloved friends, there is such an exceeding precious truth in these text words tonight, that there is the Almighty Lord God of heaven who is the giver of gifts. That there is those precious things to be received from those who are bankrupt, poor, unworthy, unable sinners. And that there is that Almighty God who has a will to perform, enabling souls to open up their mouths wide to receive the blessings of the gospel. Our word so emphatically declares the Lord gave the word. And when we see the recipients in this chapter that we have before us again tonight, beloved friends, we see such ones who need gifts, such ones who are so poor in self that have no ability to comfort their hearts, to deliver their souls, and enable them to go on that most necessary, vital way of holiness, even that way, the path of the redeemed. And when we think, dear friends, in our first point, the written word, how exceedingly precious that the Lord has given to us the inspired pages of the Holy Scriptures. How exceedingly precious it is, beloved friends, that we might have before us tonight, and we pray that it might be in each of your homes, that it might be that book that we seek in for direction and for guidance, that is the book that has declared the truths of our souls to us, and the book that has revealed the precious Jesus to us. The Lord gave it, beloved friends. It is inspired penmanship, we would say, of men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit, men who were indicted by the Spirit to speak the precious words of God, men who were enabled to declare the truths of creation, that much disputed a precious fact, or that faith that we possess, that the worlds were created by our God. It is written and declared in the precious word, it was given unto us as a testimony of how it is that the earth came into existence. The precious truths that we have here. In Hebrews 1, it says, God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake unto our fathers by the holy prophets, revealing unto us the truth, beloved friends, of how the precious word of God came to pass. That this word is truly a word that we might read with confidence, that it isn't like other books that we wonder whether they're factual, or whether the evidence is true. Wonder whether the written words on the pages are worthy even to consume our time. But the Word of God, it was this precious Holy Bible, friends, was given by God. The Lord gave the Word. And again, in 2 Peter 1:19, we read again that precious truth of the Word of God. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. You see, beloved friends, that there is such precious truths in the word of God that the apostle Peter said, ye do well to take heed. Ye do well to spend your time in examination of its sacred pages as a light that shineth unto darkness, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What do you think, beloved friends, of the Word of God? What do we think of the sacred pages of God's Word? Are we content, young children, to wait for our parents to read it? Can we leave our Bibles that we are gifted in Sunday school or in our schools that we receive them as gifts? Can we leave that Word of God in the shelf once we've received it, took it home, and leave it there never to read it again? Or do we seek in its sacred pages, beloved friends, the truths, the necessities of our soul? And we can go to every age group in our midst, dear friends, and query one another of the value of this precious Word and the time that we spend in it, searching, seeking, desiring, longing to know the contents of its rich pages. Peter, in his first epistle again, speaks of the sacred value of it. In 1 Peter 1, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The word was written, beloved friends, testifying of the glories of Emmanuel, of God who became flesh, our flesh and bones. God, who the Son of God who came down to earth, beloved friends, with a sacred purpose, that is, to restore order in a sin-filled world. And we go back to paradise. Oh, how fruitful it is, beloved friends, how needful it is, how beneficial it is for us to go back into the sacred pages wherein the fall of man is recorded. And the sacred pages of the Holy Scripture records that Adam and Eve were clothed with fig leaves. Oh, beloved friends, have we found ourselves clothed with fig leaves? A covering too short and a covering too narrow to cover our sins and to hide our wretchedness and wickedness? Has the precious Word of God, it's a gift from God, dear friends, and it reveals the truth why there's death, why the hospitals are filled with sick people and dying people, why there's so many diseases and weakness and sorrow, why tears flow incessantly upon this earth, why wickedness rages throughout this world, why the rulers and judges of the nations imagine vain things against Christ, against the Lord God Almighty. All these things, beloved friends, are we can find in paradise in the fall of Adam and Eve. We find there recorded why there is rebellion against God. Rebellion against His ways, rebellion against His commandments, rebellion against His precious Word. And I could not help but notice, and perhaps we will come there in the third point, beloved friends, but this psalm that we have read together in Psalm 68 speaks of the gifts the Lord gave the Word. And in this precious Word, in the Word we read tonight, and the Lord gave gifts unto man, they, the Lord, received gifts for man, even for the rebellious also. Oh, what a precious thing it is that we might read, that the rebellious may have gifts from God, that the Word of God declares it, that the Word of God reveals that the rebellious, though they dwelt in the dry land in the beginning, we find that the glorious resurrection of Christ recorded here, dear friends, is a means that the rebellious hearts are softened. Rebellious hearts are made tender. Rebellious hearts are made to incline to God's ways. Rebellious hearts are made to hear answers to the wretchedness of their heart. Oh, that there is a love that can soften them, and that there is a precious way of salvation to their poor souls. It's recorded here. And the Lord gave the Word. And then we find, dear friends, from that story of the fig leaves of Adam and Eve, we find there recorded the wondrous truths of the Lord who slayed that lamb and clothed his dear Adam and Eve with that clothing, portraying again that suffering Lamb of God. It's recorded here. A dear dying Savior shall come. Oh, from the Genesis to Revelation is spoken of the sufferings of Jesus Christ and the glories that should follow. But, beloved friends, are we vitally concerned in it? Are we consumed by these things? And do we meditate in it day and night? And do we seek the God who gave it? And do we bless him and praise him, beloved friends, for that revelation of salvation, the way in which poor sinners can be saved? Do we find, dear friends, a sacred comfort that many were those that published it, from Moses and the law to the prophets and to the Psalms and the writers of the Psalms, that they all proclaimed, dear friends, the revelation of Christ, the coming of the dear Savior, the opening up of that new kingdom whereby a sinner might be saved, that the prisoner bound in chains might be loosed, and the poor might have the gospel preached to them. The Lord gave that word. And dear friend, it will testify against us if we neglect it. If the newspaper, and if the famous writers, the bestsellers in the fiction books, and all that worthless writing that is readily available, or your phones, that we consume our time on our phones, and all the things that you can find on it, these things have a priority, friends, over this word of God. The Lord gave the word. And great was the company that published that word. And in its sacred pages, beloved friends, stands the truths of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. The Lord gave it. But what value do we have in it? And how precious it too, as I've spoken of before, the preciousness of holding that book, of kissing this book and its words, beloved friends, that they are life. That they are the joy and rejoicing of our spirits. That they are the comfort of the soul. That they're health to my soul. And peace to my guilty conscience. And the Lord gave that word. The Lord whom I rebelled against. The Lord whom I offended. The Lord whom I transgressed. Think, dear friends, for a moment, what if there had been no word? What if there had been no word given by God? What if there had been no direction to how to be saved? What if, beloved friends, there was no knowledge of why it is our world is so filled with sin, so filled with shame and wickedness and profanity and blasphemy and abominable works and the truths and realities that Satan rages and rules upon this earth? But we have, dear friends, we have the holy word of God. The Lord gave that word. May it not testify against us. May it become that comfort unto us. May it be the place when we may come, we take it with us in our cars, we may take it with us in our work, we may take it with us in our thoughts and in our businesses, we may take it in all the scenes of life, we may meditate upon it in the night seasons upon our bed. For the Lord has given unto us the revelations of hope. The Lord has revealed unto us the means of reconciliation. And the Lord has shown unto us the paths of peace. And the Lord has favored us, dear friends, in these sacred pages of his love, of his favor, of his compassion, of the sacredness of his everlasting covenant ordained of old. Of the people who are purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, ye are purchased with my blood, we find written in this precious book. How sacred a book it is, and the Lord gave it. But do we, beloved friends, covet it? Do we truly covet these precious words? And thank God for them. The Lord gave the written word. Equally so, beloved friends, the Lord gave the incarnate word, his beloved son. It's a gift. Oh, what belligerence there is in mankind to think that they can rudely assume this man, this God-man, that they can take him for themselves. They can accept him, that they can believe in him, that it's their right, their somehow inherent right, somehow their right to take and to receive of this gift, which is, we find, the gift of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It is that gift from heaven. A precious gift it is. For God looked down, we said that before, God looks down upon the inhabitants of this earth and he knows. He sees the thoughts and imaginations of our hearts, and he knows in Genesis 6:5 it says there that God looked down and saw that the imaginations of the heart of mankind was evil and that continually. Romans 3, I believe it says that there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that understandeth. That's that written word again, beloved friends. Why is it that we're so ignorant? Why is it that we do not even desire this God? Because we are so sunk in sin. Because we have assumed the nature of that evil one, Satan. Because we have lost that knowledge and righteousness and holiness of our God where we were originally created. And now we in an unregenerate state. And now we are in the likeness of Satan. How terrible is such a state. But thanks be unto God. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks unto God for his unspeakable gift. God gave the word. God gave the incarnate word, beloved friends. It was his only begotten son. It was his eternal delight. He was his eternal joy. His only begotten who was with him in the never begone eternity. We can't even begin to conceive that that duration of, we can't even say duration of time, for it was eternity. There was no beginning. Dwelling in that eternal delight. I was always with him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of his earth. This is that testimony of that union and that communion between the Holy Father and the Holy Son. And we think of that word, who shall go for us? Who, as they look down upon, and I say it in simple terms, and perhaps pray that it's not irreverent, beloved friends, to look down upon the inhabitants of this world, filled with sin and wretchedness and wickedness, filled with abominable practices, filled with violence. Who shall go for us to save this wretched people from this abominable state? Who will tame this mankind? Who will soften the heart? Who will make this people willing? Who will make them submit before us? Who will go? Who can go? And then we see, dear friends, the sacred truth. God could only find one way, could only have one way, beloved friends, to save that people. That was the giving of his son. Where he would be truly glorified. Where he could truly be satisfied, that justice was satisfied. That the sins of that abominable people would be removed. That the debt that they had accumulated of the grossness of their actions might be paid. It was in his son Jesus Christ. That you might be exercised in his beloved friends. That we might see the inestimable value of Jesus Christ. The wonders of his visit to earth. And his compassion to dwell with this people. And heal this people. And forgive this people. And encourage this people. And to bring such precious gifts into their midst. I pray the Lord would open up your eyes. To see your crimes. To see your offense. To see your stink. Your loathsomeness. To see the debt, beloved friends. And to see the punishment of that debt. To feel it. To mourn it. To agonize under it. And then to see the value of this precious man, the God-man, the mediator. And you see, dear friends, it was that exceeding, incomprehensible, immeasurable love of God in gifting his son to this people. And I believe I've already said it. If you and I were good people, or if God could benefit from us in some way, maybe we could see something in it, in that sense, oh, that we were worthy, or that there was something valuable that God could benefit. But none of these things are true, friends. God could not benefit by this, by the redemption of this people, in a sense that he would be increased in his value or in his worth. He took to himself the blackest of sinners, the vilest of sinners. He took to a people who kicked and screamed and fighted and would have nothing to do with him. He calmed a people and tamed the hearts of wild beasts and vile and grateful monsters. That's what he did. And it was in the gift of his son. It was only through the gift of his son that these people would ever come. I think of that beautiful word in Psalm 45. The arrows of the great king, sharp in the hearts of his enemies, whereby they fall underneath him. That, beloved friends, we begin to see the value of the gift of Jesus Christ. And God gave, the Lord gave the word, the incarnate word. Which is read, we would just go there for a minute, dear friends, in John chapter 1. And it says, in the beginning was the Word. You might say, well, Jesus is the Word. The Lord gave the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And then in the 14th verse, I think it is. And then it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord gave the Word, His Son, the gift of His Son, the Word that might enlighten, the Word that might save, the Word that might bless, the Word that will redeem, and the Word that will draw these wretched sinners to love Him, desire Him, plead Him. And say with Apostle Paul, I'm not ashamed of him. For he is a gospel, he is a power of salvation unto everyone that believeth. Beloved friends, what do we think of that gift? Let the inhabitants of the world have the gifts of this world. Let the inhabitants of this world possess riches, and possess gold, and possess silver, and fine gold. But let my soul receive the gift of God. Is that your plea? Is that the value you have placed, dear friends, on Jesus? Is that the longing desire we have for this gift? Oh Lord, one thing I desire, one thing I long for, one gift, one plea, Lord, that I might receive thy Son, that I might be given thy Son, and that I might know the values of thy Son. Is that, beloved friends, your desire? And has the Lord touched the heart to desire this, to long for this? Do we covet, beloved friends, the best of gifts? Jesus Christ? Ask yourself that question. And when we go through the Word of God, is it to find in it an answer for our poor soul? Do we groan in our souls, beloved friends, pleading unto God when we begin to read it? And we beg of the Holy Spirit, oh, that I might see in the sacred pages of the Word of God, Jesus Christ inscribed upon them. And Jesus Christ applied to my soul in them. The Lord gave the Word. But what shall it avail us, friends, if all others receive it and not us? Not you and me. Others can receive a gift and we can be passed by. And does it consume our souls, beloved friends, whether or not we possess this rich gift? We have been given it. Are we waiting patiently for it, friends? The greatest mistake we can ever do is to take. We must be given it. These things are gifts. It is in God's own will to give this Son to those of whom it is written they shall receive it. Those who take, beloved friends, are thieves. Those who take, beloved friends, unrightfully are robbers. And those who do such things shall not receive the sacred blessings written in the Word of God, recorded in the Word of God concerning this gift. I think of that beautiful word in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently, beloved friends, because the Lord brought me to a place to see that I had no right, that I was nothing more than a thief and a robber and a blasphemer and a murderer. I was nothing more than an unworthy recipient of this gift. But the Lord put a plea in my soul. The Lord put a prayer in my lips. The Lord put a cry in my heart, that this precious Jesus might be given to me. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto my cry. Are we crying, friends, tonight? Oh, that I might receive Him. Lord, I perish. Lord, I shall soon be consumed by thy wrath and thy just indignation against my unworthiness and my sinfulness. That's a precious psalm. And he brought me out of the miry clay and out of the horrible pit and set my feet upon who? The gift from God, the rock of salvation, the rock of ages, the cleft rock by that sword, that spear of the soldiers that forthwith came out blood and water. He set my feet upon that gift and brought in me the living realization what it is to receive this gift in the soul and to receive forgiveness of sins and the comfort of the heart. I never forget these things, beloved friends. They are so embedded in our soul. When the Lord touches our hearts and the Lord condemns us of our sins, it is then we covet this rich gift. It is then we long that he might be given unto us. We dare not take it. We dare not take it because we know who we are. We only come crying, Lord, that I might receive it. Lord, in thy graciousness and in thy mercy that thou would give it to me. And if thou should pass me by, thou art still just. Do you feel that way? That God would be just if he passed you by. That God would be infinitely just as he cast your soul into hell. And never ever look at you again. And yet you cannot yet turn again. You cannot help but turn again. And you cannot help but plead again. Oh, that I might yet receive him. That I might yet taste of him. Oh God, be merciful to my soul. My poor sinful and unworthy soul. The Lord gave that word, beloved friends. He gave that word that his bride, that his loved ones might be saved. He gave that word, that precious incarnate word, to suffer and to bleed and die on behalf of a rebellious and sinful, wretched race of mankind, that they might be redeemed and they might be drawn into the living church, that they might be forgiven the multitude of their sins, that they might receive the grace, the goodness, the gifts of God into their souls. There is no gift upon earth that can ever come close to this one we are speaking of now. God gave the incarnate word, the word made flesh, the grace, the goodness, the truth of God the Father in Jesus Christ. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the head of the church, and he, beloved friends, he is the image of his Father. His Father's love. His Father's grace, his Father's mercy, his Father's blessings, they are all centered in this gift. How do we value him? And how do we esteem this gift? If we want something bad enough, we can take it in as adults, we can take it in, or even young people. If we want something bad enough, beloved friends, we will give everything for it. If there is something that we desire in this earth, and we know that in unregeneracy, if there is something on this earth that our eye is focused on, our lust is fastened on, and our desire wants, we will give everything to get it, and we will relentlessly pursue it until we have it. I know it by my own sad experience. But I can say, blessed be God, beloved friends. I also know what it is to seek after this gift of God and the earnestness of spirit and the strivings of the soul and the wrestlings with God and the pleadings of mercy. And the Lord gave the word. Unconverted friends in our midst tonight, how do you think it shall stand at the judgment day when it shall be said of you, you have neglected, you have despised the gift. My gift. You think that will be a little thing? He whom his Father poured out his wrath upon. He whom he poured out his just indignation of his people's sins. He who was set before the hearers as the only hope of salvation. Well, I think of that word, I think it's in Hebrews. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be preached unto us by the prophets and then was preached by the Son himself? How shall we escape, beloved friends, if we neglect this gift? If we're utter strangers to this gift, to the beauties of this gift and the vital necessities of this gift? And let the child of God speak. Let him declare the precious truths of this gift. We'll come like the Apostle Paul. Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift, for it is a power of salvation. It is a life of my, he is a life of my soul. He is my ability to persevere. He is a love that I give to others. He is that sweet humility of my soul. He is my all in all. He's my husband. He's my lover. He's my friend. He's my blessed high priest. He's my glorious king and my ever blessed and faithful prophet. The gift from God to a poor, unworthy soul. How, beloved friends, do we view him in our own thoughts? For the Lord gave that word, and great was the company of those that published it through the whole of the sacred word of God, beloved friends. We find inscribed there in the pages of the wonders of this blessed gift, and the vital necessity of this blessed gift, and the rich favors through this blessed gift. And now, dear friends, we want to move. And the Lord gave the word. The Lord gave the application of the word, that it became a living word, that it became a precious word, that it was a means of bringing me to the word, in the word. We, again, I would say from, I don't believe you can shake it from me, dear friends, except that the Lord gave the word, I'd never know it. Except the Lord had given the living word. Except the Lord had applied the power of his word. I'd never know it. I'd never been able to understand. I'd never coveted that precious God man. I'd never needed him. I'd never desired him. I'd never learned to love him. But the Lord gave the word. James chapter 1. It speaks there that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. There's where it comes from. Do not err, my beloved brethren. James 1 verse 16, 17 and 18. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. The Lord gave the word. He gave that living word. And that power of that word, it comes from above. Beg and pray of the Lord that he might open up the sacred pages of the holy written word to reveal therein the precious incarnate word. For it comes from God, dear friends. We can have the greatest of titles. We can have all manner of letters behind our name. But we'll never understand the word. It will not become a living word. We can consume ourselves in reading, and good it is. But better it would be, beloved friends, that we would bow down in prayer, that we would wrestle with the Most High God, all that we might be given the word, a living word, and the power of that word. Of his own will begat he us. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. It became a living word. We became born again. In John chapter 1, it says that too, of the church, of the living family of God. How is it that we are born again? How is it, beloved friends, that we understand the word? How is it that we tremble under the word? How is it that we feel convicted under the word? Which are born not of the will of blood, that is, not of family ties, and not of any human relationships, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh. None of these things, dear friends, will bring the living word into the soul, but of God. And in Romans, it speaks, I'm not sure the exact chapter, Romans 9 or 8, somewhere around 9, I think it is. It says there, and so then it is not of him that willeth, and nor him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You see, dear friends, the Lord will have us brought as poor, poor, empty beggars. We come begging that we might receive provisions from the rich hand of God. We come begging that we might find a supply of mercy out of God's precious hand. We come pleading the rich crumbs that fall from the heavenly master's table. We come begging the Lord to open the windows of heaven that we might receive a blessing from above. The Lord brings and reduces his people, friends, to that place where they have nothing. Nothing in self. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. That's my theme. That's the necessity of my soul. That's all my soul covets after. The cross of my beloved Savior and the resurrection power through him who rose from the dead. Jesus Christ first and last and forevermore. The wondrous love of the dear dying Lamb of God and the precious truths of his ransoming blood. That's all my theme, all my desire. As we spoke the other day, this is all my salvation and all my desire. That, beloved friends, is that living word which is given from God in heaven to a poor, tried, and tempted soul who has received, beloved friends, that need of a in the living word. And the Lord gave that word, and great was the company of them that published it. Oh, that we would thank and praise our God. There is a multitude whom no man can number, as great as the stars in the skies and the sands of the seashore. Great is that company that publishes, beloved friends, the same sacred truth. Oh, I love it to go amongst the people of God and hear the wondrous truths of the Lord who has given the word. And the Lord who has opened the heart. And the wondrous melting of the soul as they speak of the redeeming love of the Lamb. And the power of God that attended the word and made it a living word, made them a living soul. The Lord gave the word. What precious truths, friends. And we want to go back to Psalm 68 and for a moment speak of the wondrous truths of that precious word. First, though, I want to just quickly read what we believe is the song or the desires of this people, of the word, the living word. Psalm 119, 129 to 136, and there it says, "Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore my soul doth keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments." That living word, beloved friends, that would enter into my soul and make me wise unto salvation. What a gracious state, what a good state we shall be in, friends, if this is the language of our hearts. "Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law." And that whole Psalm 119, beloved friends, is a testimony of a living, breathing, aspiring soul to the Word of God, to the written Word, to the incarnate Word, and to the truth of that Word made known in the soul. Oh, the entrance of that Word giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. Oh, to covet, beloved friends, the sacred words of God, and the sacred truths of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is known unto his children. In Psalm 68, we find some descriptions given of those who have that living word. Those, beloved friends, in the states and circumstances of life that are described here. And the wonders of that gift from heaven. And the sacredness of the Lord Jesus Christ as a comfort to the soul. "A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land." Beloved friends, I do believe in my heart too that the Lord will teach his children what wretched creatures they are. And the Lord will exercise them in the poverty of their spirits. And the Lord will separate them. He separates them out of the world. He brings them as poor sheep wandering in the wilderness. He brings them and touches their hearts and shows them who they truly are. They cannot go any longer in the paths of the world, in the paths of their former friendships, in the partings and revelings that they're used to. in the form of formal rotten religion that they have formerly taken comfort in. He brings them to the solitary place. He brings them alone. He exercises them, dear friends, in the realities of what they're busy with. He shows them their foolishness, the deep danger they're lying in. He exercises them in the need to be saved. And he tries them whether or not they know this Jesus of whom is spoken, and the riches of this Jesus, and the familiarity of this Jesus. These are, beloved friends, descriptions given of a people, and we would say they're the Lord's people. They are the Lord's exercised people. They're poor, and they're needy, and they're seeking after the presence of God, and this glorious Son of God, this Emmanuel, and the rich gifts in him. And then we find also, beloved friends, spoken of the sacredness of this blessed God-man for rebellious. For the rebellious. Because we just read, the rebellious dwell in a dry land, as if the rebellious ones are cut off. Those rebellious in spirit. Those ones who would not have God to reign and rule over them. Those who are the stiff-necked and proud creatures. And yet we read in Psalm 68 verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high and led captivity captive and hath received gifts unto men. Yea, and to the rebellious also. Oh, dear friends, to feel in our hearts these spiritual characteristics and to feel we are one with them. To be exercised of what it is to be utterly rebellious and a hater of God's ways. The gift from heaven is to subdue rebellion. Is to bring into that lonely place that the preciousness of Christ may be revealed to them. And the dear Emmanuel might be known to this people. This is also, dear friends, the truth of the Lord Jesus, the ascended Savior, who now resides in heaven as that glorious King of kings and Lord of lords. The sacredness of the mediatorial office of Jesus Christ, where the Lamb of God now sits at the right hand of his Father and intercedes for his people, his children, in all their needs. Oh, the Lord gave the word. The Lord applies a precious word unto the hearts of his children. And the Lord Jesus Christ, that sweet mediator in heaven itself, he intercedes for his people. Oh, he is touched with the feeling of his children's infirmities as they are tried and tempted by Satan, as Satan seeks to destroy the soul. I do believe the living family of God, I do believe, friends, we are brought to places and times in life in which we feel we scarcely can believe that we are changed people. Oh, the old man rises up in such rebellion against this precious gift of God, the hard way, the trying way, the afflictive way, the way in which we are led. Oh, it will try us to the very core and to make us see there is nothing in us that has ever saved us. It is this gift, this rich gift of God that has preserved us from first to last. And the Lord will bring us into these places and these circumstances that the eye might be lifted up to heaven and the rich gift from God who has conquered all and now resides in heaven might comfort us there in heaven itself. There is gifts, beloved friends, a living word by this precious Jesus Christ for the comfort and the cheering of desponding Christians. For the bride who is cast out, who feels a rebellion stirring up against the ways of God. Sacred gifts, beloved friends. The Lord gave the word. The Lord gives the living word, the cheering word, the raising up of the hope of his downcast souls. And the Lord gives the word of love and favor into the hearts of those who feel hardness stirring in them, coldness and worldly-mindedness. The Lord gives the word to soften the heart. And the Lord gives the word to encourage a soul on the paths of life. And without it, friends, we'll never be saved. Without that precious word given unto us, the encouraging way, the light shown again on a pathway, the view of the loveliness of Christ, or him whom we may see is our high priest. Or we may hear his words of comfort and encouragement, and then we will go on our way. Because the Lord has given the word. You see how dependent we are on our God? On gifts. to maintain the way, to preserve the soul, and to favor us. It is, beloved friends, that we might give all the honor and glory forever and ever and ever unto him who loved us and washed us in his precious blood, unto him who maintained the way forever and ever. And so may the Lord bring you and I, friends, to that place where we may confess, we may speak to all others how it is that we are saved, well, the Lord saved us. The Lord gifted us with that precious gift. How is it that the Word of God becomes so precious? Where in the Word of God, friends, can you find comfort? Well, the Lord gave the Word. The Lord revealed it with power. The Lord directed my eye to a particular text, to a precious psalm, to a glorious truth of Emmanuel in the precious Gospels, or the Pauline epistles where Paul describes the preciousness and beauty. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may the Lord give the word tonight, beloved friends, into your souls and mine. May the Lord bring us into that path where we know something of the power, the sweetness, the sacred savor of this word and of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless us in our souls with the living word, that we might give all the honor and the glory and praise to him forever and ever. But that, beloved friends, we truly know in our souls what it is to be sustained by God. It is God from first to last, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him despised the shame, endured the cross. Wondrous sacred truth. May our Lord Jesus Christ, beloved friends, become the all and in all in each of your souls, and to the honor and glory of God, but to the salvation of our souls. Oh, may he not leave one of us, may he not pass one of us by. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £710, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Decker will preach again tomorrow evening, and Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day if he is well enough, and to administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 570. The Lord on high his love proclaims and makes his goodness known. To men deserving endless pains, he gave his only Son. 570.
to forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss again in this evening hour. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.